Jessica Bolton.
No, I just need one.
Well, I'm trying to get a few.
I don't need it.
You don't need it?
Well, I'll leave it there. I might.
Yeah, you might have to line that up for you.
Thank you.
61, towards the back of your hymnal, and we'll join together in this responsive reading. Page 761. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord upon many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness to perish.
The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare.
And in his temple all cry glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as ruler forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Touching the water, and his body went into the water,
It was not only touched by the water, he himself touched the water. This is God. God who created this water is reaching down and touching, showing us that he's here, that he was here, so much so that the waters of baptism touched him. You see the water on me?
You get?
That's the same way that it was with Jesus. Jesus' body existed and could touch water. That's why at the end of each children's time, I usually reach out and try to touch you either on the head or on the shoulder and offer you a blessing. Because Jesus himself was... Here's the official church term for what Jesus did by coming in a human body. It's called incarnation. Jesus was... You probably heard that. You're nodding your head. We say it. We sing about it at Christmas time. And it's Jesus present in our world. Not just a historical Jesus. And he was. But that's what we're talking about with Jesus in baptism. But this is Jesus in our lives. So I invite you this week, I invite everybody to look for the presence of not only Jesus, but the touch of Jesus in your life. Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate y'all. And I ask God's blessing upon you and upon your families. Here's our bread tins. Two of y'all are elected to pick that up. And we're continuing, as John reminded us last week, that we're collecting for goats, for the old goats. Anybody have any announcements? Rick? You have an announcement?
I'm good.
Oh, okay.
Just a reminder, in the pews there are a piece of green paper. If you have a prayer request that you would like Kelly to pray for us in the congregation, please put it in the red tin as it passes, and you'll get to know if you want to pray for us.
You'll see in your bulletin a folded up piece of paper, a two-sided piece of paper. This is a request from the Baptist Church in general, as well as the leaders of the church, to invite you to participate in filling out our church profile. This is something which the leaders are asked to do every year. We'd like to invite you to participate in this. I'm giving you one now. You can fill it out and put it in the offering plate next Sunday, not this Sunday, because you won't have enough time to do all of this. But it would also be really helpful if you typed it out in either an email or in a Word document. I have this as a Word document and can email it to you if you can email me and ask. It's also on our church website. You can go along the top and look for updates and click on updates, then it will pop up there as the first post under updates. You click around a couple times and you'll get a Word document that you can download and fill out, save, and then email it back to me. But we'd like to get these back next week so we can begin to start compiling our 2020 church profile. Also, we seem to have lost the attendance report, the list of attendance for each Sunday that we keep for 2019. That has disappeared at the end of 2019. It's disappeared. We need that so we can figure out our worship attendance and send that information into the conference. We're also seem to be missing the 2018 one. If anybody knows where those are, I would appreciate it. Last week, I talked a little bit about the announcement that came out in the news about the United Methodist Church. And I shared with you a letter that was sent to us by Bishop Leland. Tomorrow at 9:30 on the United Methodist Church website, which is umc.org, will be a live stream of some members of this particular group that has made this proposal. They will be talking about this. Ellen and I are going to meeting with other pastors and lay leaders from around the district to First UMC of Hendersonville to watch this together and to have a group discussion afterwards. But it's a public live stream, and everyone is invited to watch this. One thing to remember, the news that we have received about this is that it's already done. Many of the headlines or many of the articles have said the United Methodist Church has announced the decision to split, or the United Methodist Church has voted to split, or the United Methodist Church has done this. All of that is a misunderstanding of what has happened. It's truly just an announcement of here's another proposal to go before General Conference. I'm sure y'all talked about this. The church talked about it last year before the General Conference in February of 19. All of these were just proposals to come before General Conference. General Conference is the only organization, the only body that can make any kind of vote as well as make any kind of announcement on behalf of the United Methodist Church. So nothing has been decided. This is just another proposal that will go before General Conference. Again, I'm glad to talk with you anytime about this and to share what information I have, and we'll be able to, I'll be glad to discuss it with you at any time. Let's turn to the inside of our bulletin and join together in this prayer for illumination. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, at Jordan, you revealed Jesus as your Son. As we hear your words this morning, may we recognize him as our Lord and know ourselves to be your beloved children. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Our first lesson this morning comes to us from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. You may find this on page 630 in your pew Bible if you would like to. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry nor lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the old things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
words of the choir saying, "Come my love, come my joy, come my life." And then these words from Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at Jordan to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it's proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus came to John and was baptized by a human in the waters of the Jordan River. We see here again the physicality of Jesus, the physical nature of Jesus. John recognized this is God. This is the one who should be baptizing all of us. Yet he said, "No. My humility, my Godship, my physical nature needs to be touched by you and put into the waters of the river by you." This is just astounding. Last week we read the scripture from John 1. It said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God and with God, and the Word was there at creation." We're saying that Jesus was present at the creation of the waters, that he needed to be given the waters by a human. Jesus breaks all expectations. He shatters the conventions. He shatters restrictions. He breaks through into the world. At Christmas time, we have so much fun singing our familiar hymns and hearing the familiar scriptures and setting up the decorations. Beth and I just took our Christmas tree down yesterday, and I set it up on the back porch because I was going to put suet in it for the birds. And then that storm came up and the wind blew and it blew it straight up to the door, like the Christmas tree wanted to come back in the house and still be a part of our family. And I always get depressed when I take down the Christmas decorations, because I love seeing those. And we had Christmas decorations from my home growing up and Beth's home growing up, and the new decorations we bought for the kids and decorations that we've given to one another over the years. And I want to keep it because it feels good. It's nice. I can grasp onto it. But Beth made me grasp onto the Tupperware big boxes and carry them down in the basement. And I was with a group of clergy this week, and we were having a meal, and the clergy played the same game that everybody does when it's time to say a prayer. Everybody kind of like, gosh, I need to check my phone, or what time is it? And so finally, one lady said, "Well, I'll say a blessing." She said, "Sweet little baby Jesus." And it reminded me, there was a silly movie from years ago where the dad was saying the blessing and said, "I like my Jesus where I can hold on to him. And keep him close, but I think what we want to do is keep our sweet little baby Jesus controlled." But right now, here, just a few weeks after Christmas, just a day after we took the Christmas decorations down from our house, and a week after we took down the decorations from this space, we see Jesus as an adult already breaking the conventions of the world and saying, "I am here as a physical being to touch the lives of And God said, this is good. This is what I love. And I'm pleased at what he is doing by being a human in the world. Jesus is tangible. Jesus touches us. Last week we had Jesus in our midst for as communion, as the physical elements of bread and juice. And we shared those with one another. Now I understand that that made many folks uncomfortable, and we were out of our comfort zone with sharing communion to one another, and we got uncomfortable because we couldn't remember what we were supposed to say and how we were supposed to do it, and I gave a whole lot of instructions and confused all of us. And I apologize for that and ask for your forgiveness, but one thing I can't apologize for. I apologize for the confusion, but I can't apologize for Jesus in our midst. Because Jesus is in our midst. And I would be falling down on my responsibilities as a minister of the gospel, a minister of the good news of Jesus, to not remind us that Jesus is in our midst. Because the good news, the gospel message, is Emmanuel, God with us. So I ask for your forgiveness for making us uncomfortable and confusing us, but I also ask that we pay attention to the presence of God in our midst. We handed the bread to one another, and we handed the juice to one another, and we took the bread and the juice, and then we passed it on to another, and we shared in that gift of grace, the gift of God's presence in our midst. Jesus touched the waters. And perhaps proved, wouldn't you have loved to have seen? I know many people go on their trips to the Holy Land and go to the banks of the Jordan River, and many folks are baptized again in the Jordan River to experience that enveloping of the water, perhaps the waters that Jesus touched himself. But the fact of Jesus touching the water carries with us to this day and this place, because the voice of God moves over the waters. I want us to look at Psalm 29. And we read it at the very beginning of the service, but there's so much in this. And I want to bring the physical nature of God's presence in our midst. Psalm 29 says, ascribe to the Lord, all heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The first verse says, ascribe to the Lord, all heavenly beings. We're talking about angels. We're talking about angels who are told to glorify God's name and to recognize the work of God in the world. And then here's where God's voice, this is where God's presence touches the world. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Last night we had some friends over for dinner, and we were sitting looking out over our back porch, and we saw this. We knew the storm was coming up, and they made it just in between some of the rain showers. And I had my back to the window, and I saw my friend's face light up as it was completely white, and the whole room flashed white, and the boom of the thunder behind us, a thunderstorm in January. You know what the old wives' tale is? It's going to snow in a week. I hope it doesn't actually, hope it turns into wintertime in a week, don't you? I mean, this is supposed to be winter, not 68 degrees. But we see the power of God over nature. The voice of the Lord, it continues, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. You see all of these the action of God. It's the voice thunders, the voice is powerful, the voice is the voice is majestic. The voice breaks specific trees. The voice makes a mountain range. In verse 6, when it says, makes Lebanon skip like a calf, it's the psalmist is talking about the mountains of Lebanon. And Syria, and that's a specific mountain, that's Mount Hermon, makes mountains skip like young animals. The voice of the Lord flashes out flames like lightning. The voice shakes wilderness. The voice shakes Pacific wilderness. The voice causes trees to whirl and strips the leaves off the trees. And God sits enthroned forever over the waters. God sits above it, as verses 10 and 11 tells us. He sits above it in peace because he has. Then in verse 11 it says, there's peace that can be given to the people. It's interesting. That God can give this as a benediction. We have it here in our Bibles as a conditional blessing. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. But the Hebrew uses a verb that indicates the action is taking place, that God is blessing the people. Maybe the translators of the NRSV wanted to sound more like a benediction. I'm going to use this as our benediction this morning. Now, reading through this, you see, we're talking about a storm. And sometimes people are afraid of storms. And were afraid of a storm coming in. It knocked down trees and took out power in the neighborhood. And I'm one of those people that like storms. I get called in from the front porch. If we hadn't had guests last night who were sitting around the table, I would have been standing on the front porch watching the storm, and Beth would have been inside saying, Kelly, get your dumb self inside because there's a storm and it's lightning. I like to watch thunderstorms. One of my favorite places in the world is the rim of the Grand Canyon, and I like to sit there all day long, and particularly if there's storms moving across northern Arizona, and I like watching the lightning flash down and seeing the winds whip and come on, and that's when Beth is saying, come on, Kelly, let's get in the car because the storm's coming. And I want to watch the storm. And I understand completely that storms are scary to some folks. Well, we were in a video conference call with our son James, his first year at college. And Beth and Maddie and I were at home, and we were sad because we were missing James drinking a gallon of milk a day. And we actually called him up because we said we still have a gallon of milk in the refrigerator. There's nobody in the house to drink it. And we had a video call with him going on. He was sitting in his freshman dorm. And we hear this siren blasting out. And being the good dad that I am, and knowing that his dorm was across the railroad tracks from the CDC, I said, oh, maybe that's the siren from the CDC. A virus has escaped. And they're warning everybody to go wash their hands or something. And James, bless his little heart, actually looked out the window towards the CDC to see if a cloud of black fumes was coming over the campus. And it wasn't. And then he got an alert on his telephone saying that there was a tornado watch for the city of Atlanta, or tornado watch in the city. And Beth and Maddie, you know what they said. They said, well, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to see? Should you go down to the basement? And I said, oh, that'll be great. Don't you have friends on the top floor? You can go up to the top floor and look out their windows to see a tornado coming across the city of Atlanta. And Jake said, well, maybe I need to go check this out. He didn't tell. This is private family knowledge here, okay? He told his mom and his sister that he went down to the basement with the other students. But what he really did is he went up to the 10th floor and looked out a friend's window. And he was very disappointed because there was not a tornado coming. The storms are in our lives. The presence of God is in our lives. And I understand that this can be scary for folks, particularly I would have a hard time preaching this down on the coast for churches that are still recovering from hurricanes. But I want to take just a little bit of liberty with literary license, literary freedom with this particular song. It's the scholars say it's one of the oldest songs. And it's been around and been used in the temple and in the church for thousands of years. And I think it could probably stand up to me and my attempt to change some of the language. It's still a song of praise. Heavenly beings, give to God glory. Angels, give to God glory and strength and recognize the glory of His name. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord, it says, is over the waters. I want to change the word waters to the word church. The waters cover the face of the earth. You know, the church pretty much covers the face of the earth. There's the church in most every land. There's Christians in most every land. The God of glory thunders the Lord over the mighty church. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the doors of the church. The cedars of Lebanon were strong, strong trees that was used for construction in the temple because it wouldn't break, it wouldn't rot, insects couldn't eat it, it would not decay. But the voice of the Lord breaks the doors of the church. The Lord breaks the doors of the United Methodist Church. Here's the one I love. He makes, it says, the mountains of Lebanon skip like a calf. He makes the United Methodist Church skip like a calf. He makes Asbury Memorial United Methodist Church skip like a young wild ox. Now, it could be scary to watch mountains skip. I've seen, when we lived in Southern California, I saw mountains skip. And I saw freeways fall down. When we see this, we think of earthquakes. But it made me think of a traffic jam I got in on the Biltmore Estate one time. We were taking some friends through the Biltmore Estate and just driving around showing them the tourist attractions of Asheville. And we were driving out of one of the hotels going back towards the exit, and there was a traffic jam. There were cars all over the place. And so I wanted to see what the traffic jam was and kept on driving through, and then I realized everybody had pulled over that hillside where the sheep play, or where the sheep are out. And it was the spring, late springtime, and there were lambs skipping on the hillside. So we put the car in park, and we all jumped out with the other tourists, and we were taking pictures of the little baby sheep out there jumping around in joy of being alive and present in the world that God created. Verse 6, He makes the United Methodist Church skip like a little baby lamb, and He makes Asbury Memorial United Methodist Church skip like a little baby lamb on the hillside of Biltmore Estate. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the world. The voice of the Lord shakes our world right here. The voice of the Lord calls, as it says, the oaks to whirl. And I'm going to say, the voice of the Lord causes the pillars of our church to whirl. And He strips the forest bare, and He strips us of all our pretenses and our camouflage. The cedars are strong. We can view the skipping of mountains as scary, or is the skipping of the mountains, the church, as the delight of a little lamb? The voice of the Lord breaks through. The voice of the Lord causes us as leaders of the church to whirl, and the voice of the Lord strips us of our camouflage. And the next verse is, and in His temple, all say. And the next verse is, and in His temple, and in the church, and in Asbury Memorial United Methodist Church, all say. Let's turn to hymn number 252. Francis, turn to hymn number 252. I want you to basically stand and sing when Jesus came to Jordan. Let's remember the physical nature of God at work in our world. Let's sing together, friends. Our gifts, our service, and our witness the vows of baptism that we seek to serve all and welcome all and to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. This very day we sang, this very day invade us and every bondage break. Come give our lives direction, the gift we covet most to share the resurrection that leads to Pentecost. The age of grace has begun. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We come to you as your people and offer these our prayers. We pray for members of our congregation who need your touch, who need your grace. We lift up those, our homebound members and friends. We lift up Merle and Betty and Ray, and Carol and Debbie and Grace and Charles and Sarah Virginia and Juanita. We ask for your spirit to be there with them at their home, the Baptist home at Brooks Harbor, wherever they are. Send your spirit of grace and peace because the age of grace has begun. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Mary, for Helen, for Jack, for Jamie, for John, for David, for Eleanor, for Debbie, and we pray for Carol. We ask for your presence to be presence of healing, your healing touch, presence of comfort, your presence of peace, your presence of grace, because, gracious God, the age of grace has begun. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the new United Methodist churches in our community in Polk County and Black Mountain and Wellspring United Methodist Church. We pray for our United Methodist Church. We pray for those who want to separate. We pray for your blessing. We pray for your grace. We pray for those in leadership, those who are going to General Conference. We ask for your guidance and your touch. And I know we'll pray more and more as General Conference comes closer, but Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray for our baptismal covenant that we as a congregation a few weeks ago stood here and committed with Beatrix Bailey to surround her with a community of love and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, so we pray these prayers. We pray the prayers in the silence of our heart or the prayers that we wish to lift up out loud. We pray, ascribe to the Lord heavenly beams, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name, worship the Lord in holy splendor. His gracious God, we know that your voice is over the waters in our church. We know that you, God, the God of glory, thunders, the Lord over mighty waters in your mighty church. We know, God, that your voice is powerful. And we praise you that the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. As this ancient psalm says, your voice breaks the cedars. And as we say today, your voice breaks the doors of the church, the United Methodist Church. And we know that as your voice broke the cedars of Lebanon, so you break the doors. That's very memorial, United Methodist Church. And as the psalmist thousands of years ago says, you make the mountains skip like a calf, we say today, you make the United Methodist Church skip like a calf. And you make Asbury Memorial United Methodist Church skip like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth with flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh, the wilderness of our lives. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, takes away our camouflage, and in his temple all say, and in his temple all say, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. children of God, we are bold to pray as our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Now, as forgiven and reconciled people of God, let's offer ourselves, our tithes and offerings to God who loves us so much.
Thank you.
You know, friends, just recognize that the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to his people, and may the Lord bless his people with peace.